whole bunch of crazy mess going on in email, so you need to know this is the real thing. Okay, what we're going to need you, some of y'all are getting the email today. I know I got mine. Some of y'all aren't getting it yet, but you will. Okay? The email says, please, it says, please send $1,000. No. I'm going to kind of read this to you because you need to hear this, all right? Dear church family, we are excited to share our church now has access, listen carefully, access to an extensive new video library called Right Now Media. All right? This is some awesome stuff. It's like a Netflix of video Bible studies. It's not a Netflix of movies necessarily, but a video Bible studies. And everybody that's in this church, if you sign up and give your email address, you have free access to it as much as you want. There's like, I don't know, 100,000 videos. So you have access free. Can I say that enough? Free. The church is footing the bill. Now, later on, if you'd like to, you can maybe, donate a dollar. I mean, I'm serious. Maybe $1 or $2 a month. Just say this goes to the video library and to help take care of the cost. Just $1 or $2. It's not like we're asking for $50 a month. $1 or $2 really help oversee this and take care of it. $1 or $2 a month. But it's free. We're not asking anything. I'm just saying is to help defer the cost. $1 or $2 a month will help defer the cost. All right, there's a huge library of faith-based videos that you can access whenever and wherever you want. I have it on my cell phone. I can, if I'm in a hospital, I can look at videos. All grades of awesome, awesome material. There's stuff, and it's categorized like marriage and family and children and all kinds of stuff like that. And so Bible studies. So, and it's got all grades of guys. This isn't some generic thing. There's Andy Stanley. Who's ever heard of Andy Stanley? Andy Stanley, I think Charles Stanley, John Maxwell. I can't think of all the guys now, but you think of virtually any big name I can think of. I think T.D. Jakes is on, I'm not sure. But anybody you see on TBN, most of those guys are there, and you can access their libraries to get to look at and learn stuff. So it's cool, all right? Now you can do it on your phone, your iPad, your computer, or on your TV. If you have... there's certain kind of boxes that we have for our TV that we use to hook up to the internet to stream. Certain ones, if you have Apple TV, that'll do it. And also, there's another one. I can't think of what it's not Hulu, but there's another one that downloads right straight to the TV. You can get it off of that. All you got to have is you have to have the invitation and you have to accept it. Okay, so when you see it come in from the church, this is not spam. Matter of fact, check your spam. Just to see if you got it and your system already sent it to spam, it's free. That's a four-letter word I like. F-R-E-E. Satan's F-R-E-E always costs you something. This one costs you nothing. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Just all I ask you is don't sell it. If you get something, don't sell it. Don't tape it and give it to somebody else. This is for you. Okay? This is for you. All right? Now, and as long as we keep it like that, they'll keep saying that we pay that the small monthly fee and y'all can have it. We're always looking for, and I said, we're always looking for ways to help develop and strengthen your faith. We believe that Right Now Media will be a tool to serve you as you live out your faith at home, work, and in your neighborhood. Right Now Media has videos for everyone, kids, youth, parents, married couples, college students, single adults, working professionals, all aimed at helping you grow. Some of you already got it. Some of you got to write a sheet. There's a sheet up there. If you put your current email on it, then we'll be able to get it to you. We're not trying to keep it from you. We're trying to get it in your hands. This is something good. We are trying to get it to you. All right? So if you don't receive it, check your email filter. It could be spam. And it came from Right Now system. Did this come from Right Now system or our system? Okay. So you Okay, so you're either going to get it from the church or you're going to get it from something. Listen, right now, media, right now. Okay, that sounds good. Now, once you receive it and find the email, simply click the link, sign up for an account. You're all set to explore more than 12,000 videos. 12,000 free. We're also going to start using it in children's church so we can have we'll have a comprehensive library of children's stuff that we can have right there. We don't have to go buy a set of videos and use them over and over again. We got fresh content that we can use time and time again. I think it's an awesome thing. I believe that it will be pleasing to God and it will be pleasing to us to be able to use this. Amen? Can we just give the Lord a hand for that? That's awesome. So remember, check your box. And if you haven't got it yet, because we don't have your right email, put your right email there and it'll be fine. How many is ready for Mother's Day today? All right. How many wise men do we have in here? Three? Four? Five, five, six, seven. Oh, Wayne's got both hands. Touchdown. All right. Then you know this famous saying right here. Get ready. I'll see that hand. There you go, buddy. He got his hand up. You're going to be a wise man from your youth. That's awesome. Touchdown. All right. All right. Here we go. Every wise man in here has heard this, and I hope you have said this, and I hope you live by this rule. It's Mother's Day, right? So now, remember, it's Mother's Day, and we got our day coming. So whatever you, no matter how bad I make you feel today, remember, we get to make them feel bad next time. All right, watch this. How many remember this rule? I was looking at that thing, and I said, you know, it's pretty cool except for one thing. She got a rolling pin in her hand. Amen. I'm going to give you a mother's dictionary. Mothers, I want you to listen to this dictionary. You will know this good. Amen? I'll try to go through it quickly. I'm going to do a little bit of a sermon here, but here we go. Mother's dictionary. Ready? Bottle feeding. How many's ever heard of that? Look, it's an opportunity for daddy to get up at 2 a.m. too. All right? Defense. All right? Defense. What you better have around the yard if you're going to keep the children play outside. Drooling. Where's Lee? Oh, Lee ain't back out here, but he's the master of drooling right now. Okay. Drooling. You know what it is? That is how teething babies wash their chins. Here's my favorite. Dumbwaiter. I see it. One who asked if the kids would care to order dessert. He's a dumb waiter. Amen. All right, here we go. Look, there's a reason some people think they can do anything. Isn't that cool? And they listen to their mothers. All right, isn't that cool? So here we go. Feedback. You're going to like this one. All right, feedback. Feedback is the inevitable result when the baby doesn't appreciate the strange carrots. Feedback. All right. Full name. Why'd you call your child when you're mad at him? Mama had different stages of mad. She called me Cricket, which is my nickname. And if she was really upset, she called me David. And she was really upset, she saw me David Clayton. And if I was coming in for a hard landing, it was David Clayton Linton. So I listened to why she called me very carefully, depending on which way I walked in that room and where I walked in at. Okay. Grandparents. Who's a grandparent? Oh, here we go. I love this one. Look, grandparents, you'll love this. The people who think your children are wonderful, even though they're not sure you're raising them right. Hearsay. Oh, DC and Danny were masters of this. Hearsay. What toddlers do when anyone mutters a dirty word? They hear it and say it. They'd hear it and then come to church and say it. Amen. It was always cool. Always at church. Amen. All right. Marvelously overflowing with love and touching the heart of everyone she reaches. Mother. Amen. That's awesome. All right. Here it is. Look out. Now, I haven't forgot. I'm going to give mother something in just a minute, but I want to get these words first because I forgot to put it in the right order. But that's going to be all right. All right. Look out. When it's too late, or what? when it's too late for your child to do anything by the time you screamed it. Look out! Here it is. I could tell this morning when we had a couple of parents come up in the praise team. I could look at their faces and tell they remember this one. Look, prenatal. When your life was somewhat your own. Here it is. Prepared childbirth. A contradiction in terms. Puddle. A small body of water that draws other small bodies wearing dry shoes into it. And here's the last one. Somebody say amen. All right, watch this. Sterilize. What you do to your first baby. Well, here it is. What you do to your first baby's pacifier by boiling it, and to your last baby's pacifier by blowing on it. Temper tantrums. What you should keep to a minimum so as not to upset the children. Ah! 2-minute warning. When the baby's face turns red and she begins to make those familiar grunting noises. And then, of course, who done it? Of course, none of the kids that live in your house. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Amen. Now, every mother, I know it's kind of slim in here today, but that's usually one. Father's Day and Mother's Day and Easter, you know, usually there's a group goes to one or the other, and looks like someone went to the other this time, but it'll be all right because maybe it'll come back for Father's Day, okay? So here we go. I want every mother to just raise, every lady, because every lady in here that's over 18 is a mother. You may not be a birth mother, but you are a spiritual and emotional mother to a lot of people. Did you know that? Dads, you know, y'all are an emotional dad to a lot of people that you don't even realize. I had a prisoner at PCDC. He was the one that said he was Satan. And he come to me and said, kneel before me and read this scripture. And I said, dude, I ain't kneeling to anybody. He says, kneel before me. And I said, let me just tell you, I'm going to speak to you in Hebrew. I said, it will be a cold day in Hades when I kneel before you. Now, if you want me to minister to you, you need to listen to me. Okay, over the next few months, he started listening, and God started blessing him. And then one day I come through, he was calm and cool. And one day I come through, and I didn't wake him up so I could speak to him. And he hollered for me to come back. He said, don't ever do that again. He said, don't you know you're my spiritual daddy? I didn't know that. Okay, so some of y'all are spiritual mamas to people and mental mamas, and you have no idea. So here's what we're going to do. Y'all ladies want to march? Y'all feel like marching? Whoever can't march, we'll march to you. But y'all ladies feel like marching? Yes. Yeah, here we go. Oh, the guys were saying, yeah. Or would y'all rather me get the youngins to bring them to you? Okay, youngins. Everybody's got a youngin. Send one of your youngins up here. And everybody don't have a youngin. Oh, there you go. What this is hugs and kisses for mom. All right? That's my man. That's right. Two. All right. There you go. Oh, here. Here. I left the digs. I messed up. That's right. Now, those within my reach, I'm going to throw it. There you go. Okay. All right. Come on. You going to help me? Okay, any mother in here that needs somebody to bring one to you, raise your hand. And remember, if you're over 18, raise your hand. If you ain't come up here, he'll bring them to you. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead. That was awful sweet of him to volunteer. That was awesome. Here you go. If I dropped your stuff here, so somebody keeps, I keep dropping those things, so. Has everybody got one? If you're over 18, you're a female, raise your hand. Everybody back in the back. There you go. Over 18. Ladies, catch. Here you go. How many else is there? Okay. You're over 18, raise your hand, please. Because you may not be a physical mother. You may not be a physical mother, but you're a mother to a lot of people. Every woman over 18, every woman here over 18, please raise your hand. Every woman get one? Bethany, you can make sure you get one because I want to taste this. You send one to Georgia, yes, yes. All right? Everybody got one? Who didn't get, every woman get one. There's one back there in the back, all the way in the back. All right, three more. I can throw him a whole lot faster than he can walk. Okay, go ahead. How many more? Y'all get one? You get one? You get one? You get one? Everybody get one? Let's see. All right. Everybody got one now? 18 and older females. Everybody got one. All right. All right. What's that? Oh, today is Billy Bonner's birthday. He's 75 today. No, 17 today. 8 and 9 is 17. He's 89, but if you take it and put 8 and 9 together, it's 17. Let's sing happy birthday to him. Ready? Y'all, let's stand and sing to him. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right. All right, you can be seated. Yes, he is. 89 years old, still cutting grass. Ain't that awesome? All right. All right, today I was thinking about this thing. I was thinking about today and all the things that today holds. And as I began looking at all of it, I began thinking, if I was a mom on Mother's Day, and I have been Mr. Mom for 3 years, so I understand some of what y'all go through. As far as some of the stuff I had to have other people do to help Bethany, but I was Mr. Mom for 3 years. And so let me ask you a question. As Mr. Mom, I felt this, and I would think if y'all come into a Mother's Day service, you may feel this. But look, have you ever felt insufficient? Have you ever felt like, you know what, I really blew that I could have handled that a different way. My kids are going to hate me. They're going to grow up and think I'm the meanest woman ever been. If I did that different, my kids would have turned out this way or that. All this stuff goes through your mind. You know, when I go to the PCDC and counsel with people, you know, not only do I go with the guys on Thursday night, but now I go as a counselor and some of the stuff I hear, people are always, it's like every time I talk to a male, he's either going to talk about his wife or his mother. They're always coming up in the conversation. Okay, if they're not married, mother comes up in the conversation. If they are married, then the wife comes up in the conversation. Y'all realize how much pressure women have on them. Okay? Now watch this. Have you ever realized or have you that you wear many hats? Every woman wears many hats. Amen? The problem is you only have one head. Amen? And look, most of the time, you feel like it's about to blow off. Amen? And some of us even feel like, look, it's about to fall off. Amen? So watch this. Now you're sitting here. I wrote this down because I want you to see this. So you'd see that I didn't just make this up. You're sitting here wondering if I'm going to preach another sermon about a perfect mom to make you feel even worse. Have you ever wondered that? We're going to Mother's Day, and we're going to hear about the perfect mom. And she's going to be awesome, and I'm not going to be able to live up to what mom did. And so now, you know what? I think I'm just going to sit here and turn this off, and I'm just going to stare in outer space. Sometimes on Father's Day, I see the fathers just staring. I see the mothers just staring because they're going, I can't live up to this. You know what? I'm glad you come today because today is your day. Amen? Today is your day. Today we're going to talk about, we're going to make it a little bit easier on you. Before this day's over with, I'm pretty sure that you're going to have a good time. Matter of fact, this is what, I couldn't even think of what to call it. So I said, here's the name of the title of the sermon. Is it Mother's Day again? Oh, I'm sorry. Is it Mother's Day again? I've had people ask me just this week, Mothers. Instead of going, hey, Mother's Day's coming, they go, no, it can't be Mother's Day again. No, I'd rather not even have Mother's Day. I've heard that more than I've heard anything else. Okay, so let's get our Bibles out to Matthew 15 and stand for the reading of the Word. Stand for the reading of the Word. Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 21. Look at somebody and say, Happy Mother's Day. And remember, giving birth to a child does not necessarily mean that you are, it means that you are a birth mother, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're mothering. And never giving birth to a child does not mean that you're not a mother. Because remember, we're talking about an emotional attachment to people, or an emotional attachment from people unto you. And when you have these people attached to you emotionally, they look to you with respect and honor, and they will treat you as a mother, and they really love your advice and seek your counsel, even though they may never tell you. I can't tell you over the years, people come to me and go, you know what, I've always thought of you as a father. And I'm thinking, I don't know why you thought of me as a father, but I said, yeah, you know you led me through a lot. So remember, people are watching, okay? And they have tagged you as a mother. All right, Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. In other words, I got this kid. I can't do a thing with her. Can you imagine what she did last night? Can you imagine what she did last week? I mean, I've tried sending her to the counselor. The deputies brought her home. I don't know what in the world to do with her anymore. I'm about ready to throw my hands up. God, can you help me? Has anybody ever been there? Amen. Well, my kid's never been brought home by the law. You know, I remember Daniel. I'm sitting there at Williamson Church of God, and I'm sitting there, and I hear a knock on the door. I go and look up at the door, and I look, and there's the sheriff's car, the police car. And the guy opened the door, and there was a policeman. And behind him was Daniel. Another policeman was going to the back of the police car and grabbing a bicycle, a stunt bicycle, that he said he couldn't live without. He did for a while. And he said, Mr. Linton, we've got your kid for destroying public property. I said, my kid for destroying public property. He says, yeah, he was doing these grinding, his bicycle, riding in the schoolyard and jumping up on the bleachers and grinding down the bleacher. And I said, Daniel, he said, watch this. Then the policeman says, but hold on. He said, he's the only one out of seven boys that didn't run. And I said, does that still make me happy? I said, why didn't he run? He said, because one of the boys took his bicycle and ran with it. And as I started to get upset, the policeman said, look, I'm a pastor, son. I understand the pressure. Cut the boy a little bit of slack. I said, okay, I'll pull back. I won't give him 90 lashes. I'll only give him 80, okay? All right. But I remember this stuff vividly. Vividly. I went to pay attention to visit somebody. And I had to go up front and give them my ordination. I gave them my ordination. And then they said, we don't need that. I said, well, you told me I needed it when I got here. She said, no, you work right there. You're fine. I said, can y'all make up your mind? They said, but you can't come in here. I said, why not? I said, because you've been detained. I said, I've never been detained. I said, David Linton, 785 Possum Track Road. So many years ago, you were detained here. I said, not me. I said, was it junior or senior? They said, junior. So they let me go in and counsel with the guy. I come back out, and I called the phone and said, D.C., were you ever detained at Pitt Detention Center? He said, well, Dad, I Forgot to tell you. Yeah. So yeah, we all get a chance to, no matter how much we put in our kids, why that. So, but he answered her not a word. Wow, you're praying to God and he answers not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now here comes the preacher, Jesus saying no, and the preacher saying, you don't even belong here. Get out of here. But he answered and said, I'm not sending unto the lost sheep of the, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped and said, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, woman, great is thy faith, be it unto you even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Praise God. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you, God, all that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you, God, that this day is your day. And we thank you, God, that you're going to make things all new in the name of Jesus. We pray. And the church said, amen. Get my high five, low five, no five. Praise God. Say praise God. Amen. Now, I'm not going to try to keep you too long. But we've got to keep you long enough that you can get something out of this. I want you to think about it. Again, have you ever felt unworthy? Unworthy of the calling of mother? Have you ever felt unworthy of just honestly even being out in public? Sometimes, you know, I get up and I see some of these perfect dads. One of the worst things in the world to do is watch the Andy Griffith Show. And you say, I can't live up the way he does. I'm not a dad like him. I do like, somebody was talking about the other night that said, well, did you notice on the Andy Griffith Show that everybody on the Andy Griffith Show was single? And the only one that was married was Otis, and he was a drunk. Okay, here we go. Get ready. Sayings about mother. Here's some more sayings. This is some awesome stuff. A Spanish proverb says, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. Isn't that awesome? My mother, I'm going to tell you, my mother was my spiritual partner. My mom was my spiritual buddy. I mean, I love my dad. My dad did a good job of help raising me and doing what he had to do. But I didn't see my dad, but I saw my mom a lot. I didn't see my dad much at all. When I did see him, you know, churches for women, you know, and serving God's for women. And so my mama, though, she said, son, serving God's for you. Let's get this right. All right. So then Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln said, no one is poor who has a godly mother. Matter of fact, Abraham Lincoln also said, all that I am and all that I ever will be is because of my mother. Jewish proverbs say, or may say it best, a child without a mother is like a door without a knob. Wow. Here's one. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. So now here's this woman. This woman is not necessarily in the best of conditions. She's not thought of very good by anybody. Things are looking rough for her. She's going to Jesus. Jesus is ignoring her. The disciples are trying to send her off. And here she is when he finally does talk to her. If she feels like I'm not even good enough to receive what you got. Let me just ask a question without you raising your hands. How many times have you felt unworthy because you felt like that God weren't listening and the people that were listening didn't want to have anything to do with you? And then if they were trying to do something with you, you still didn't feel like you were good enough to fit into whatever they were trying to give you. You ain't got to raise your hands. I'm telling you, I felt that way many a time in my own life. Amen? So now watch this. Here's some things I want you to see. And if you want, this will make you feel better. Watch this. You don't need to be a great somebody to be somebody great. You ain't got to have a fancy name. You ain't got to belong to the biggest, greatest church in the world. You don't have to have everything perfect. You ain't got to have every hair in place. You ain't got to have your life in what other people think are perfect working order. You don't have to be a great somebody to be somebody great. And I thank God for that. Amen. I appreciate that the God we serve is not looking. Listen, he's not looking for well-to-do, whoop-de-woo people. He said, I've come to give the good news to the poor and the brokenhearted and tell them that somebody loves them. You know, we were going into Pitt Detention Center Thursday night. Well, let me move a little further. Let me finish this, and I'm going to tell that little story about Pitt Detention Center. So you see, Here she is. See, watch, look. She's a poor woman. Her husband is never mentioned. All right? Not only is she a poor woman, she's an outcast. Her birth, she's a Canaanite. She's a Gentile. Not only is she a Gentile, she's one of the worst Gentiles, a Canaanite. And then you got to look at her situation. Her daughter is vexed with the devil. I mean, what more can you think about it? And then watch this. And now she don't even, look, they don't even mention her name. But in the end, she gets elevated by God. And her story is told around the world and has been told around the world probably every day, 365 days a year, and told since for 2,000 years. Her story has been an awesome story. But at that time, her story was too personal and it hurt too much to have anything to have done for her. Matter of fact, there's only two people in the Bible that Jesus said had great faith, and neither one of them were Jews. Both of them were Gentiles. And so here he goes. Let me so what does she do to catch Jesus' attention? What does she do? Because Jesus done told her, said, I ain't got time for you. The disciples said, send her away. Then Jesus says, the stuff I've got ain't even for you. So what does she do? And was Jesus really in that frame of mind that he didn't want to help this woman? Sometimes we think Jesus don't want to help us, and we have to realize it wasn't that he wasn't wanting to help her. The problem was that he wanted to see how bad she actually wanted the help. Okay? There's times where Jesus wants to pull out of you more than you think's within you so that he can minister to you more effectively. Kind of like preparing the soil. So first thing she did was she overcome great barriers. Mark chapter 7 says that, again, she stepped beyond her own identity. She was a nobody, unnamed. She stepped behind her own inferiority because she was a woman. She wasn't even supposed to address the rabbi in a crowd. And she had to overcome a bunch of prejudice because she was a Gentile, a Canaanite. You know, when I say Possum Track, I'm from Possum Track Road, you know, and I always think it's a cool thing being from Possum Track. But, you know, there were some people, when I worked at Fountain Power Boats, I would call all over the world during the week, and there were some people would actually, I kid you not, would leave my voice on their answer machine. Because I call them and say, what's happening? And I tell them, say, how's your day going? Isn't God good? Let's get this thing going. Let her rip. And they would let her rip, tater chip, whatever, and they would keep it. And they would tell me, we keep your voice. So when we're having a bad day, we play that and realize there's a crazy person out there. That refuses to have a bad day. Amen. So first she overcome barriers. Here it is. Notice she overcome great barriers. Some of y'all, remember, some of y'all right now, you're fighting identity problems. Some of you right now are fighting your own inferiority. You think you're not worthy. You think you may be worthless. You think because whatever situation you're in, it disqualifies you for God to help you. And maybe somebody just has pure out prejudice against you. But remember, overcoming great barriers is an awesome thing. And she was empowered by a great love. This is so awesome. Her love was more powerful than her fear, than her shame, than her hardship. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4 and 8, love covers a multitude of sin. Does not say it does away with it. What it means is that when your child has done something, that mother will love them anyway. Look beyond that problem, that sin, and love them anyway. We're outside before we went into the Penitentiary Center Thursday night. Linda was working. So Linda drove right around because she works around the block. Her place is right around the block. So she comes around and she's praying for me. And I said, Linda, she says, anything special that you want to pray about? And I said, well, I've noticed over the last month or two that the juveniles, the juvies, those below 18, they used to have one block for them. There's so many of them now, there's two blocks. And used to, that you walk in, they were very humble. And now you go in and they're belligerent. Even cuss me. And so I told Linda, I said, Linda, I want to pray about the juvies because I want to have the right word at the right time for God to pierce their hearts and to cut this mess out and get busy with God. And so she prayed, and it was a very powerful prayer. When she got through praying, I went inside, And the first place I went to were the juvies. So I go into the juvies, and the very first cell I go to, the guys are cutting up. And they're mocking me. And here, I mean, it's bad enough to have the 40-year-olds mocking me, but when you got a 15 and 16-year-old that you're there to minister to, mocking you and cussing, there's just something about it. You know what I'm saying? And so I go in there, and here they are. And I just said boldly, I said, let me ask you a question. Do you want me to minister to you tonight? Because I got other places. I got other places to go. And if I'm not going to sit here and do this. And they calmed down a little bit, still cut up a little bit. And I said, I'm not playing. Now, if this is what you want, I got a lot more people that need this. Now, what you going to do? And they calmed down. I gave them Bibles. And I did what I had to do, and I prayed with them. Then I started going down, and then that prayer kicked in. I walked right to the guy that had cussed me a couple of months ago. I mean, he cussed me so bad. And I walked up to him, and he said, remember me? I said, yeah, I remember you. And he looked at me, and I said, how are we doing tonight, you and me? He said, we're doing good. I said, really? He said, really? I said, well, I want to tell you a little story. Here was that prayer kicked in. I said, I just left the ballpark. My granddaughter was playing her last game of the season, and I hadn't been to many of them because I've been doing stuff like this when she has her games. And I said, so tonight was her last game. And I went to her, and I just got a chance to give her a kiss and hug her as she walked in the dugout, and then I had to leave to come here. I said, so I just want you to know something. I said, so here's what I ask. I said, how long has it been since a grown man, a real man, told you he believed in you? And he was with his roommate, and they held down their head, and a tear started falling in their eyes. I said, how long has it been since a real man has told you he believes in you? And they said, never. I said, well, I believe in you enough that I left my granddaughter, her last game, to come here to minister to you, because I believe I can do more good here with you than watching her play that game. And he started crying. I said, now let me ask you another question. I said, how long has a real man told you he loved you? And they said, never. And one guy said, my daddy's never told me that. I said, well, before I left the ball field, I have a 33-year-old that went to Afghanistan 6 times. He is no joke. I said, but before I left, he grabbed me. He hugged me. He kissed me on my cheek in front of everybody and said, I love you, Dad. And those way I started crying. And I said, you know why? Because they had a real man tell them every day of their life that he loved them. I said, this isn't some old mushy, mushy love. I said, this is the kind of love where a man will pick up a cross and walk 7 miles with it on his back. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. And so I started going to the cells and saying the same thing. And the guys would just cry. They went to the next place. I just called them all to the front door. And I said, and so they all came to the door, and I told them all the same thing. How long has it been since a real man told you he believed in you? And how long has it been since a real man told you he loved you? And I said, there's a little thing me and my boys do, and my daughter. I said, 1, 4, 3, I love you. And I said, and they were standing, they were looking at me. Here's these juvies looking at me. And I said, I want y'all to look at me right now. And I went. And every juvie put their hand up and went. Those guys told me they have never been told. Most of them told me they'd never been told by a man that they were loved. Well, so that's right here. This woman here, she had such a great love. She had such a great love that she would overcome all those barriers. She left the ball game. She left her daughter wherever she left her to get to Jesus, because she knew that her love for her daughter meant more than her maybe even being arrested in the crowd. So she was empowered by great love. Every woman in here has got that love. I know that. None of that. Watch this. She was, come on there, bro. Work for me. There you go. She was armed with great determination. Why? Because I'm going to show you these little things she had to conquer. To get to Jesus first, she had to, oh, I love this. She had to conquer the patience, the test of patience in divine silence. Here she goes to Jesus, and he don't even talk to her. She's praying, and nothing's happening. I can tell you right now, in my own life, I can think of the times I'm praying to God and I don't hear Him. I'm praying to God, I'm hollering up to heaven, but I feel like it's come right back down and hit me right in the face. I know y'all have never felt that way. But this woman, she's going to Jesus and she's talking to Him. She's pouring out her heart. She's already broken all kinds of rules in the public, talking to a man, a Gentile, talking to a Jew, and also going to a rabbi. I mean, all this stuff, she's in big trouble. But she went there anyway. She conquered the test of patience in divine silence, because even though she knew He was the answer, He wasn't answering. Ugh, wow. Everybody's been there. Then she had to conquer the test of discouragement, because when He finally does answer, He don't go, there, child, come here, I got something good for you. He goes, send her away. Well, thanks, Jesus. I heard You were the Master of grace. Send me away? Oh, it gets better. Then she has to have His disciples. I mean, the disciples, they're send her away, send her away, send her away. And then Jesus rejects her and says, I'm sent only to Israel. Wow. And then, look, so then she had to conquer her own humility, because she says, you know, you're right. This stuff you got's for the Jews, but even the crumbs go to the dogs. Any mother in here knows what it's like to be determined. I've seen a lot of, over the years, I've ministered to a lot of women that were single women that would juggle their family, work during the day, and go to school at night so they can make it better for their kids. And I'd wonder, how in the world are they even walking? How are they even thinking with all this stuff that they're going through? Wow. So now, watch this. She also knew that great power of prayer. Because when she got to His feet and she acknowledged His divinity, she worshiped Him. She acknowledged His control. She called Him Lord. And she realized she couldn't manage her life without His help. So she wouldn't quit knocking. Some of y'all in here, I'm here to tell you, don't quit knocking. You may have felt like you haven't got an answer yet. You may feel like Jesus isn't paying attention. You may feel like other people have rejected you. It's okay. Jesus will help you. That's not my guarantee. That's His. And then, again, not only the power of great prayer, but she was kept by great persistence, because the Bible says this woman was tested in three ways. I let it run real slow so we could all be tested with our perseverance. Tested in three ways. See, she kept after Jesus in spite of, watch this, His silence. In spite of the disciples' lack of being silent. Send her on. Get rid of her. And also, being undeserving, she just kept coming. She kept coming. She kept coming. She kept coming like the little widow woman. She just kept coming. The unjust judge says, you know what? I'm so tired of her coming. I'm just going to go ahead and do something for her, because I can't stand it. She won't leave me alone. How long has it been since you got that kind of faith where you just won't leave it alone? God, I got to have You. God, I got to have You. I ride down the road and say, God, I got to have You. God, I got to have Your peace. I got to have Your comfort. I got to be able to be an agent of comfort. I've got to be able to be an agent of peace. You know, you feel these things and you're just saying, God, we need this in our lives. So watch. She said, okay, You're not going to give me what is Israel's. How about just give me the crumbs? There's something special about the crumbs. Why did she say crumbs? I mean, was it just because she saw a bunch of disciples there with breadcrumbs all over their mouth? Yeah. Or send her away. No. Crumbs, listen to this. Crumbs in that day were less than leftovers. I love leftovers. I think they're awesome. Especially collards. Pigtails. They're wonderful the first time you eat them, but the second time, wow. And the third time, whoa. Those great old big lima beans, they're good the first time, but you warm them things up, it'll make a bishop kick out a stained glass window. Last time I warmed up collards and pigtails, they had to hold my leg while I was eating. I was trying to find me a stained glass window somewhere to kick out. So watch this. Ready? in that day, remember, it was very hard to get fabric. It took a lot to get fabric. And people had to work a lot and on looms to make these fabrics. And so napkins, they didn't have disposable napkins. They didn't have disposable diapers. They didn't have disposable anything. And so you got to look at this now. Here they are. They've got people go to sit down, and they sit down to eat. They don't sit at a table and chair. They sit on the ground. They sit there and fold their legs, and they eat. So now, here they are. They're sitting down eating. They don't have napkins. So what do? They have these little pieces of bread. These little pieces of bread that are baked along with the meal. This little piece of bread was used as a napkin. This piece of bread, they took it, and they would wipe their hands with it, wipe their mouth with it, and they would throw it on the floor. But don't worry, they had Fido, the quicker picker-upper. So they had these little pieces of bread, they would wipe their hands with it, and actually it was called crumbs because it wasn't great old big, and they would take these crumbs and they would throw it on the ground, and the dogs would eat it. It wasn't even considered a part of the meal. It was just considered nothing more than disposable waste. And she said, God, I don't even have to have your best. I'll take that disposable waste. That's fine with me. I just need you to engage with me. Wow. It's like Elijah when he was at the brook and the ravens brought him meat. He drank from the brook and the ravens brought him meat. Again, some of y'all have heard this before. I've told it. That word raven in the Hebrew is buzzard. And there was a famine in the land. Animals were dying everywhere. So I'm pretty sure that he was getting roadkill every day. God will bless you if you're not picky about how he's going to bless you. Amen? But it wasn't what she got. It's who she got it from. You know, this time of year, it's always kind of, it always gets me because my mom's been dead now since 98, I think it was, 97. And it's just this time of year, it's just tender to me. And my mother's birthday is April 23rd. And I'll be going along with April 23rd and won't be thinking about her birthday. And I'll think, why am I having such a rough day today? Why can't I think good? What's going on? And then I realize, you know what? It's my mama's birthday. So I'm thinking about my mama. And so you know, again, I think about these things, but I got to remember something. You know what? I watched mama take the crumbs and take care of me many, many. And my mama was one of the most humble people I ever met, ever. I bet there weren't a proud bone in her body, except when she was talking about her children. She had three normal children, one exceptional child. And I'm not saying who was who. This woman stood till she triumphed. She received a great commendation. He said, you have great faith. She received his approval because the request was granted. And then Mark says that she went home and her daughter was healed. Let me ask you a question today. Do you feel like you're not good enough to get what God's got for you? Do you feel like you're not good enough to be a great mother? Do you feel like you're not wearing the right kind of clothes, dressing the right way, working at the right store or working at the right plant? Or have the right degree. No. Don't give up. I remember this all the time. And when I learned this, it took a lot of pressure off me as a father. And as a pastor, it took a lot of pressure off of me. You don't have to be perfect. Come on up here, BJ. You don't have to be perfect to make a difference. You don't have to be perfect to make a difference. On everybody in here to please stand. God is awesome. When he called mothers, something special. You see, if you look at the Trinity, there's the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Of course, children should know, of course, the Father. We are like the Father. We're analytical. We take care of business. We get it done. But then there's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one called along beside. Matter of fact, Jesus said he won't even mention his own name. All he'll do is mention Jesus. Called along beside to help, to guide, to nurture, to virtually, you could say, spiritually feed and clothe you. And to be there to hold your hand, to get you through a lot of hard things. When we think about the Trinity, where does Mom fit in there? She fits in there with the Holy Ghost. I remember my mama when something, there were six of us. And there might be six pieces, but one of them was really bad off. I'd see her always say, give that to me. And she'd always take the bad piece. Or if there was five pieces and six of us, she'd say, you know what, I didn't need that anyway. And I've watched her many a time when she needed shoes. She wanted to make sure I had shoes first. She needed clothes, but she wanted to make sure we had clothes first. You see, she didn't talk about herself. She talked about us. The same way the Holy Spirit talks about Jesus. And when I had my boo-boos, when I had my rough times, my dad was always there if I needed him, but he was like, suck it up, son. My mama would grab me and hug me and say, it's going to be all right. Trust God, it's going to be all right. You don't have to be perfect to do any of these things I showed you today. Nothing in there is beyond any woman in here. And God will look at it. You don't have to be a great person or a great somebody to be somebody great. The Syrophoenician woman showed that. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. First, I'm going to talk to the mothers. With nobody looking around. If you're a mother in here and you've had that time where you felt insufficient, insecure, felt like you couldn't get it done, felt like you didn't have what it took, and you're in here today. Number one, I didn't preach about a perfect woman. I preached about the lowliest of all the women in the New Testament as far as the culture was concerned. If you're in here and I'm talking to you today, would you just slip that hand up and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to trust God that everything's going to be all right. I just want to pray with you. Touch them right now. Maybe you're here and you're that mother and you're at extremes with whoever it is, your kid or situations. You feel like the devil's got it full control in there. You're calling God and you don't feel like God's listening and you're wondering what in the world's going on. I'm here to tell you, God's got your back. He loves you. He's going to take care of it. Now, if you're here today and got any reason whatsoever you want to pray, whether it's to praise God or to ask for a petition, I invite you to this altar right now. All that will. Matter of fact, if you're here with your mother, how about grab your mother's hand and come down here and pray with her? Grab your mother's hand and come pray with her. All that will. If you're here and you don't have your mother and you see a woman in here that don't have a child with them today, grab their hand and take them down here and pray with them. All that will. Come and pray. Grab your mother by the hand. Come on and pray. Grab your mother by your hand, by her hand. Husbands, if your wife's here and her children aren't, grab her by her hand and bring her up here. I'm pretty sure she's called you son enough. Come on. If you see somebody here, a woman by herself, there's no children for her, and you're a child, don't have somebody to bring up here, grab them by the hand, and bring them up to pray with them. All that will. If you don't feel comfortable coming up here, at least be beside them at their seat. Pray with them. Pray with them. If you're here with your mother, the first thing I want you to do when you're praying for her is thank her. Thank her. Thank her. Thank her for raising you. And thank you for the sacrifices that you made, Mom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let me tell you a little story. There's an elementary school teacher. Her name was Mrs. Thompson, and she stood in front of her fifth grade class the very first day of school and told the children, talked to them and told them that she loved them, but she really didn't. She called it a lie because she didn't. And there's this little child that was in her class, little Teddy. Little Teddy had just been a very problem child a couple of years before, and they had just pushed him along. So she comes into his class, and when she comes into his class, she's tempted to push him along too. And the Lord struck her, and she started showing him love. It come time for Mother's Day, and little Teddy brought some perfume and a little old bracelet, trinket. The children laughed at her because it was cheap perfume. It stunk. The stuff was taken out of the jewelry, was busted to pieces. But she looked at it and she said, thank you. She found out that day that his mother had died 2 years before. and been sick for years. That's why he'd been cutting up. And so she started loving on him. The rest of the year, she loved on him. She took care of him. He went from her class and just kept on going. And he would come by and tell her that he loved her and just how much she meant to him. But after he graduated, when he went to go graduate, he went to her and said, "Can you do me a favor?" She said, "What, Teddy?" She said, "Can you come to my graduation and sit where my mama would sit?" And so she did. Well, about 4 years later, she gets another letter and says, "Here's Teddy. I says, I want to tell you that I just graduated college." She said, "Matter of fact, I was topping the class." 3 years later, he sends another letter to her and says, "I just graduated again, top of the class." Says, "I want you to come to my graduation and sit where my mama would sit." Signed, Dr. Theodore. When he got married, he said, "Can you do me a favor and come sit on the groom's side by my mama's seat, please?" And she did. All because she used love. Powerful, powerful. Mamas, women, we make a difference. All it takes is love. The Beatles said it best, "All you need is..." They were prophesying. Everybody said, "All you need is love." All right, look, coming back Tuesday. We're doing things different on Tuesday. We've been doing some heavy-duty stuff. The last couple weeks, we've just been doing stuff to help you get through your day. Stuff taking the Bible, taking the Word of God, and putting it in our own language. And having some confessions that we can confess as the Word of God to help us through our day. And it's some awesome stuff. I do it all the time. Every day. Especially when you feel this, get it out and start reading it. Because I guarantee you, that'll go away. Because you've got the power of the Word of God on your side. Amen? That's all, Stan. Yeah, mothers.
Mothers, we love you.
Yeah, mothers.
Oh, go ahead. Give them a hand.
Now, since you're 17 today, can you dismiss us in prayer?
I did my best. Heavenly Father, we just come forth in your word, Lord, to bless all the mothers that are here and all the mothers to be. We ask your blessing upon each one as we depart from here and head wherever we're going, Lord, that you'll watch, guard, and direct in what we do. Let us always look to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.